morning's message, as I said before, is from that Old Testament reading from the book of Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, dear friends in Christ. Something happened really incredible between 1931 and 1935 in the Nevada desert. The Hoover Dam was built. And when you walk along the sidewalk on the top of the dam, you can see the dam's face on one side and Lake Mead on the other. And here there you see you're kind of right at the nexus of great power and great productivity. And amazingly, of course, this happened in a time of great suffering in our country. It was during the Great Depression. During that Great Depression, thousands of workers traveled across America to the Nevada desert to build this dam. Southern Nevada actually became home to people from 47 states. People from all over the country came because there was the promise of work and productivity there at the Hoover Dam. And when it was dedicated, it would be known for a decade as the tallest dam and the largest hydroelectric plant in the world. You see, this time of great suffering actually became a time of revelation. In the midst of all of this suffering, people saw great power and great work. Now, our text today offers us Christians a glimpse of God's great power and His work in the midst of suffering as well. Israel, of course, had been exiled to Babylon. The city of Jerusalem had been laid siege. The walls of Jerusalem had been torn down. The temple had been demolished. And out of this suffering comes a voice of lament, this book of Lamentations. And there in the very center of this book is the revelation of the amazing faithfulness of God. From the cry of God's people in the midst of suffering and judgment comes a word of faith, a word of hope that really remains for us here in future generations. This morning we're going to consider that God's great faithfulness so that we might always have hope in the midst of suffering. God's faithfulness is indeed great, and His faithfulness guides our lives in hope. Now, if you've ever been to a funeral, you know that every funeral is different. Grief has many voices. The same is true, of course, in Scripture. Today we hear from the book of Lamentations. This book, as I said, contains five laments. I said four earlier. It's actually five. I'm sorry. And each one is different. And this third lament is very, very personal. It's the cry of a man who has seen suffering. It's the suffering of an exile and God's judgment upon His people. And having seen all of these things, this man cries out in grief. In his lament, he ends up speaking about God. But note that. He's speaking about God. He's not speaking to Him. He's not crying out to God, he's speaking about Him. God is the one that's hiding in the bush, hiding in the bush like a bear lying in wait or a lion in hiding. That's what it says in verse 10 of this chapter. God's the one who's been like an archer. He's marked out this man as prey and has driven his arrows into his kidneys. That's what it says there in verse 13 of this chapter. So physically, mentally, emotionally, this man has experienced the judgment of God, and he's reached the point where his endurance and his hope from the Lord have all but gone. I think many of us have been there at one time or another in our lives. This man can only speak about God. Looking at God through the lens of his life, seeing God through the experience of his suffering, he's no longer even able to pray. I mean, to him, what's the point? But then he remembers something. Well, actually, he remembers someone. He remembers God. He calls to his mind God's faithfulness, God's mercies, God's steadfast love. Now, these words aren't new to this man. I mean, they're old words, the language of love that God has given to Israel. They're words that are found in the history books. They're words that are found in the Psalms over and over. Psalm 118, the steadfast love is forever. You know, the steadfast love endures, God's steadfast love endures forever. His love endures forever is what the refrain over and over in Psalm 118 is. So these aren't new words. When God had redeemed Israel from slavery in Egypt, he revealed to himself there on Mount Sinai. He revealed himself to them at Mount Sinai. Moses asked if he can see God, and God gives him a glimpse of his backside, pretty much. And as he's walking before Moses, God says these words, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. This is the same cry that Israel remembers in times of sinfulness and distress. This is the cry that this man also remembers. And from this memory, something amazing happens. God restores a relationship with this man. God does this, brings it to his remembrance. Suddenly, the man is speaking to God rather than about him. You can even see the shift in our text today. At the beginning of this prayer, we hear the beginning here. When he says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, he's talking about God. His mercies never come to an end. Again, he's talking about God. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In his remembering, he sees that God indeed is faithful as he brings it to his remembrance. This God who had pursued him like an enemy, who is suddenly near to him in faithfulness and love, God will not forsake his covenant or his love toward his people. This God who once delivered his people from slavery in Egypt will indeed deliver them from exile in Babylon. This God who had judged his people in their sin will forgive them and will bring restoration. In the face of this great sin and great suffering, God's faithfulness is great as well. A greatness that his people can absolutely rely on. You see, in our world, people sometimes read God according to their lives. And here's what I mean by that. They use their life experiences as a way of determining and measuring God's love. In other words, if God's delivered them from suffering, then God's powerful. Okay? If God has prospered their business or their family, then God is loving. When life begins to break down, however, so does their God. When we read Lamentations, it calls us to return to God. Rather than read God according to our lives, we encounter God according to his promises. And his promises never fail. As the text says, for the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. God revealed his name to Moses. And in revealing his name to Moses, he's led his people to pray to him in the midst of their suffering from one generation to another. In fact, so great is this love that when the man speaks of God's steadfast love, he actually speaks in plural. It doesn't come across in the translation we have. It actually says, the steadfast loves of the Lord never cease. Never cease. again and again. God has shown his people steadfast love. And so we come today and we rely on him and not on what we see around us. Of all people, you and I, we know what the steadfast love of the Lord is like. I mean, in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus that has gone before us, God has shown us this everlasting love, this love that never ceases. You see, it's there on the cross where God revealed his love for you and for me. Using this Roman instrument of torture, God wrote his faithfulness into the very landscape of our history. His love is so great that he bore the judgment of our sin for us. His love is so great that he promises eternal life to us. It's love that brought you here today. And it's love that sends you home again. It's love that permeates throughout your lives. It's God's love for you that pours out, that fills you up and pours out into your community, into your love for others. You see, after this man remembers God's faithfulness, suddenly he begins to live in hope. That's the hope that we live in. God's great faithfulness actually guides our lives in this hope. And living in hope doesn't mean, of course, that the suffering is going to be taken away. I mean, in fact, for this man, well, the suffering is still present. And he continues to lament. But this time, when he remembers his suffering, he does so with hope. In verse 17, earlier in this chapter, he's at the end of his resources. He's without peace, without happiness, without hope. When he opened his mouth, all that came out was an expression of emptiness. He says in verse 18, "My endurance has perished, so has my hope from the Lord." It's gone. He's been beaten down. He's the Samaritan lying on the roadside, or the man lying on the roadside who's been beaten with no hope at all. But now his hope is full of the promises of God. "The Lord is my portion," he said. Now, in order to understand this, you have to understand the context. When a portion at that time was what a soldier in the army got when they defeated a city. They defeat a city, they divide the spoils, and the portion that they got was their portion of the spoils. This time, however, the Lord has actually fought for him. The Lord has fought and the Lord has won. And now the Lord chooses to give himself as a portion to his people. They don't receive the winnings of the battle, but they actually receive the one who wins the battle for them. The Lord is their portion. And see, when God is your portion, you live in hope. We all live in hope. The one who created the universe, the one who defeated death and the devil, the one who forgives your sin, is on your side. He fights for you. Is it any wonder that the man who writes these lamentations, that his language suddenly bursts with hope? Even in the middle of suffering, he speaks of God's goodness. Because God is good, life is good. Life in the midst of exile and suffering? Yeah. Even there, God's faithfulness is great and guides our lives in hope. On the night that Jesus is betrayed, Jesus gives his disciples a promise. After he washes their feet, he warns Peter about his denial and even prepares them for his own betrayal and death. Jesus gives them this promise: "In this world, you will have tribulation." Oh, gee, thanks, Jesus. "But take heart, I have overcome the world. In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. An amazing promise. There's a story about a woman named Sue. When she visited her mom in the hospice center, these words were very, very far away. She had left them in her mother's kitchen on the shelf in the, above the sink. It was an old plaque, stained from years of sitting above the sink. But the Bible verse was clear, and her mother had asked her to bring it along with her. She gets there. She apologizes because she forgot that plaque with those wonderful words. And her mother says, "Don't worry about it, Susie. Those words are here. I carry them in my heart." Reciting the words of Jesus, she gives her daughter's hand to pat. Even though death was near, her God was nearer. Trusting in Jesus, the one who overcame death, she would die in hope. In hope for her, for her daughter, for you. God's faithfulness is great and guides our lives in hope. I've never been to the Hoover Dam. I would love to go see it sometime. But I apparently on the floor of the Hoover Dam is what they call a celestial map. Now, a celestial map, it commemorates the day that President Roosevelt dedicated the dam. But rather than giving the date, it gives the configuration of the stars on that day. The people that had built this dam were so sure that it would last for a hugely long time that they needed to help future generations locate its occurrence in time, that they put a star map on the floor of the Hoover Dam. So according to astronomers, this celestial map will actually enable people to date the dedication for the next 14,000 years. This morning, God's given us a promise of His faithfulness. It can be read by the faithful, not by looking at the stars, but by looking at the cross. There outside the city of Jerusalem, God the Father condemned His only Son to death so that He might bear for us the sins of the entire world. And now, of course, risen from the dead, Jesus proclaims God's steadfast love to you and to all nations. God's faithfulness to this promise is great. It's so great in its power to forgive you that He can forgive each and every one of your sins and the sins you're going to commit to. It lasts from generation to generation, and it guides your lives in hope until Christ returns. Then, of course, He's going to bring about a new creation where all of those who believe in Him will live in the wonder of His great faithfulness and love. Great indeed is God's faithfulness to you and to me. In His name, amen.